Hello, I'm Professor Lou. Welcome to our live stream. Today we are going to be doing wet charcoal drawings focusing on abstraction. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof: critiques, tutorials, and professional development. Guys, it's going to be a messy day. So I recommend what you do is you get your sheets of newsprint and your spray bottle. And if you don't want to make a horrible mess in your house, living space, get a bunch of towels. Put the towels all around you, because the mess today, it's not so much the mess on you. It's more that you're just going to have lots of wet drawings everywhere, and finding a place to put them can be a little bit of a pain. You're going to end up with a swamp-like space today, but it's really fun. So what I have is just a plain table, and you can see what I'm doing right now. I just have a spray bottle, and I'm spraying it so it's totally wet like this. And then behind me, I just have three or four towels, and I'll put these wet drawings on top of those towels. Although you'll be surprised, these dry very fast. So you won't need to put out like 10 drawings at a time, but you will have to do a few. Let me just do a couple strokes. It's been a long time since I've done wet charcoal. Oh, okay. Yeah, just do what I'm doing right now, okay? I will have particular exercises that we'll run through together. But I have not done this technique in such a long time. I honestly can't remember how it works. Last time I did this was probably when I was teaching freshman drawing at RISD. But I'm just moving this around. And you'll find today that it's as much about your fingers doing the work as it is about anything else. And you can play with different degrees of wetness. Like, this is actually not very wet, the amount I put on, but if I want to put on a lot, make it really wet, you'll notice that the charcoal sinks in very differently. It gets a lot more dramatic, and it really is more like ink wash. Over here, it's a lot more dry. Like, here it's more damp. It's not wet, though, but you can still obviously go in and adjust it with your fingers like that. So just do this for a few minutes, okay? Before I lead you through a couple of the more specific ways of working. And if you guys don't have charcoal, you can also try black chalk pastels. I have three different brands here. This is Rembrandt, this is New Pastel, and this one I believe is, it's not Terry Ludwig, is it? Can't remember which brand this is. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, you can use these. These are fine. One quick tip. This is soft pastel I'm using. Yeah, this is fine. It's a little bit hard, this particular brand. Probably I'd have to use more water. But the one thing that won't work, you can't use vine charcoal. Vine charcoal is not going to work. It's not soft enough. It's not going to get the effects that you're looking for. Let me see if this soft pastel works. Oh yeah, this one's pretty good. Oh, this one's really good. What is this brand again? I'm totally blanking. It's the Diane Townsend. Okay, so this is Diane Townsend soft pastels. I have the Rembrandts, I have the New Pastels. So yeah, any of these will work. I mean, if you wanna try color, go ahead. I happen to like just doing black because it's messy enough as it is, guys. You don't need anything more dramatic at this stage, at least in my opinion. Yeah. All right, cool. One thing you can play with in this technique is just how wet is the paper. The wetness of the paper very much does dictate the effect you get, because the marks I'm putting down here, I mean, that really looks like a dry mark. If I come up here, I make it super wet, that's such a different type of mark. Like, it's a lot more luscious. So you guys can play with that. You can play with rewetting the paper. I mean, sometimes what I'll do even is I'll start with a dry piece of paper and then spray on top of marks. In fact, let me show you guys how to do that. Gonna go through a lot of paper today. By the way, this does not work with other types of paper. I mean, I suppose you could use watercolor paper, but this really is about the experience of drawing. Like, this is not about trying to make something look good today. So for example, if you wanted to try, you could put down some dry marks like this, and then you could wet it like that, and then you could move this around like that. But I'll tell you, I personally like it better when you just like soak the paper, because this is harder to work with, because now parts of it are dry, parts of it are wet, and it's a little bit tougher to do. So my personal preference, if you guys have never done this before, just wet the whole thing with a spray bottle. Nice and even. And then once you get the hang of the technique, then you can play more with being selective about, okay, well, maybe I wet this part, maybe I don't. But I think in the beginning, it's better when you're just trying to get the hang of it, doing something like this. Paper's gonna wrinkle like crazy, and it's gonna be annoying, but you know, that's just what it is. This is all about in the moment. Isn't that beautiful? That's like a lush, like yum. If there was ever a yummy stroke of charcoal, look at that. Oh, that feels good, guys. Check that out. You can do a lot of blending like this, almost like caressing the paper in a way. Isn't that gorgeous? And if I get it a little bit wetter, the mark will get even more dramatic like this. It really becomes like ink wash in that sense. By the way, you guys, if you are wondering about art supplies, I did put the art supply links there in the YouTube video description below. I did not put down the supplies for soft pastels. Any soft pastel will be fine as long as you pick a dark color or black. That should work great. And of course, you guys are always welcome to draw along with me in any media you want. And then afterwards, go to the Art Prof Discord and post what you make in the Art Alongs channel, because I love seeing what all of you are making. And for a change, there are no reference photos today. Isn't that a change of pace? We're not used to that. And the reason why is because we're just going to play with marks. We're just going to think about all the different kinds of strokes that we can make here and work with that. That's a completely different mindset than having a reference photo. Like, one other thing you guys can do, I sometimes take the piece of charcoal and I just push it across the surface like this. Isn't that fun? Almost becomes like a railroad track. I don't know, it looks mechanical to me in a way. I mean, you can even try that with this one. Maybe this one will just push it across. That is gonna happen. You guys are definitely going to tear into your paper because the newsprint is so thin and it's super wet. That's gonna happen. But again, these are not drawings to keep, okay? These are drawings to experience and to play with, but don't think about trying to make something look phenomenal today. It's not necessary. This is all about the experience of drawing. Okay, I'm gonna go through and look at the chat, see what you guys are talking about. Marjana says, what type of paper is best for this technique? I recommend newsprint because the newsprint absorbs the water really fast, and so you don't have to wait around for it. And also, like I said, today's not about making finished drawings. You could, if you wanted to, use nice watercolor paper. That would be fine, but it's not really worth it, in my opinion. If you guys do this exercise and you decide, wow, I really, really like this, I want to do watercolor paper, sure. But I think the first time, that you do wet charcoal, just use newsprint, because then you get a sense of the technique and you can decide later on if you want to invest in nicer paper. So Yuki, if you want the materials, the list is in the YouTube video description below and you guys can get all of the links to the supplies. Seven Angelic says, could we do this on thicker paper like watercolor or mixed media? Yep, you totally can. It's just in the beginning, you're gonna fly through the paper. And that's why I just don't think it's worth it to use the nice paper in the beginning. Because the other thing is if you have nice paper, you're just less likely to experiment because you're gonna get more precious about it. You're gonna wanna finish it. And this is all about the moment of drawing. Yeah, Starving Artist says, how lush. The charcoal seems to move in such a dense, soft way. It's so cool. The place where I learned how to do wet charcoal was as a RISD student. RISD freshman drawing, I had a professor, Victor Lara, who was a RISD legend. I think he just retired this year. But he was a phenomenal drawing teacher. And this is the exercise. Like if you guys have trouble loosening up, you feel like you're a very tight artist and you're trying to get out of the expectations of realism and stuff like, this is the technique for you. Because I was one of those people when I was in art school, I was so tight about everything. And this was really the technique that got me to just bust out of that. And I just remember being one of those people that just rendered everything to death when I was a freshman at art school. And he had us doing wet charcoal drawings for hours on end. This was not something we did for a few minutes. I mean, I think we must have done wet charcoal for at least half the semester. And actually we did it so much that I started to have trouble using dry charcoal. like I was so addicted to the density of this. I mean, you can model things. Like if you guys want to do this, this is one thing that I've done. Sometimes I'll have like a scrap sheet of paper and I'll just put down a lot of pigment and then I'll take my fingers and I'll just make a drawing with my fingers like this. And it can be really fun. You can get some very ghost-like, suggestive surfaces. So as much as you can get these very harsh, dramatic, luscious lines, you can also do stuff like this, which just has a very beautiful, soft, suggestive quality to it. And it's actually somewhat similar to what we were doing in the guinea pig stream yesterday, where you can do all this smudging, but then you can layer, for example, like harsh marks on top of this, like that. I mean, isn't that cool? And you can just keep doing that. You can keep smudging, going over. You can layer this like crazy. And I really enjoy just how fast it is. I mean, isn't that really satisfying? Another tip, it is very helpful, I think, to draw bigger. You guys will notice this is a really big sheet of paper. This is 18 by 24. If you work smaller than that, you can. I'm not saying you can't, but I do find that I feel a little bit stifled at that scale. So if you have the space to work 18 by 24 about, that's probably going to give you more options. But again, it's up to you guys how you want to do that. Oh, this is cool. Sybil says, I have some water-soluble graphite. Oh, I've never done that before. Actually, we do have a stream coming up later this month where I'm going to be using the water-soluble graphite. But yeah, I mean, try it. Why not if you've got it? Yuki's asking, what are we drawing? Okay, we're going to work totally abstractly today. So I'm going to lead you guys through a series of exercises that I used to do with my freshmen at RISD. And right now, while I'm answering questions, just play. make marks. That's what that teacher, Victor, he used to just say, make marks. We'd just come into class, he would say that, and we'd do that for 3 hours. And you think to yourself, how can I sustain that for 3 hours and keep it interesting? It seems crazy, right? Just make marks for 3 hours. But I think part of the brilliance of that, the fact that he did make us do it for that long, that's what made it so effective, because it forced you to get innovative and to do something different. Because after a little while, if you don't do that, you're incredibly bored. So you have to invent ways to put down marks. Like you can say, what happens if I put down the charcoal like that? I'm going to make these little round strokes like this. What happens if I do this with my thumb? So right now, all I want you guys to do before I walk you through some of those exercises, make marks and make them in as many different ways as possible. Your aim is to create the broadest range of marks you can possibly think about and try not to make them the same. So if you catch yourself making the same mark over and over again, stop. Do something else. Like here, I'm not even really drawing these as much as I am just sort of hitting the paper with the charcoal. And then, like I said earlier, you can take it and just push it across with your palm. You can take it and just do very thin strokes. And your fingers are just endless possibilities. As far as these go, I mean, you could just make marks with your fingers down here if you want. Just layer up almost like a stippling type of effect. That's what's so cool about the wet charcoal. It's just so sensitive. The wet surface of the newsprint picks up everything. And that's what's so fun about it. It's such low physical effort for so much reaction on the surface. So fun. I need this today. This is really cool. Ra Nook is asking, does it work in fabric? I've never tried it before. You could try it. I mean, see what happens. Let me know. I'd be curious. All right. Seven Angelic says, it's so black and dark. No wonder Professor loves it. Yes, I know. This is Hades, Underworld, Cerberus, Charon, black. I mean, guys, it doesn't get better than this. Okay, let me get to another sheet. What you guys can do is when you're piling your paper, like when you finish a drawing and you put it aside, I'm just putting my wet sheets of paper on top of towels, but they dry pretty fast. So you could probably have three piles of drawings all going. And then at some point you'll notice they'll start to dry out. And then you can start to put some of them on top of each other, because obviously you're not going to have like 20 towels with drawings on top. Oh, my spray bottle is a disaster. But sometimes the unevenness of the spray bottle, you can use it to your advantage. I mean, this is one of those techniques. The messier, the crazier, the better. You cannot do this wrong in any way. I know a lot of people talk to me about, oh, I need a change of pace. I need to This is something different. If you guys are needing to shake up your studio practice, this is totally it, you guys. Seven Angelic says, I'm just thinking of how horrified Jordan. Oh, this would be like if Jordan had a personal underworld. Would be for Jordan. Oh, he would just die. You know, he did it in my class, because I used to do wet charcoal when I taught freshman drawing, and Jordan was in my freshman drawing class. Also, play with pressure. Does everybody see how here it's very light pressure? Here it pressed down really hard. And when you are all drawing with your hands, don't just use your fingertips. Like, use the side of your hand, throw it in here and do stuff like that. I mean, use your palm. You can get all these prints in here like that. I mean, literal fingerprints like this. And you can make like a little swamp here. Purposefully add more water and just mix this up. Look at that. Oh, that was really fun. Who feels like they're in preschool? I do. I love this. I mean, these are marks that most of you probably would not make if I gave you a pencil. It's a very different thing. And today we're just gonna play, but at some point, if you're interested, I can do a stream with wet charcoal where we do draw something specific, where we are drawing with it observationally, because that is another challenge. I think some people might look at this and it might feel too disconnected from observational drawing, but it doesn't need to be. It can totally do similar things. I mean, we could draw guinea pigs with wet charcoal. We totally can do all of that, but I just wanted to introduce this as a technique first so all of you can see how it works. JJ is asking, is this vine charcoal? It is not. You do need to use compressed charcoal. Vine charcoal is not going to work. It's too hard and it's not going to get absorbed into the water very well. And just so you know, there are certain brands of compressed charcoal that are so hard that this will not work. It depends. The brand that I'm using is Faber-Castell, and this one seems to be okay. And there are others that are softer. Like, there's another brand, Art Alternative, that makes black charcoal that's even softer than the one I have now. So what you want ideally is a compressed charcoal that's really soft. I mean, now that I think about it, if you guys have black soft pastel, that's probably a better bet than some of the compressed charcoals that are too hard. Like, this is Rembrandt soft pastel, what I'm doing right now, and this is working great. So black soft pastel should be fine. Oh, that is fun. I love these moments of just, let's try something here because this is super wet looking, but you can put down strokes that look fairly dry. Does everybody see that? But then you can get in and really blend it and then put harsher marks on top like that. Oh, that is great. This is very rhythmic. Anybody here a percussionist? Just think about the physicality of the drawing process. Oh, that was really fun. So don't just think about the mark you're making. Think about, what is your hand doing? Like, are you twisting your wrist? Are you going side to side? Is it up and down? This is a very physical process. This is where drawing really, I mean, you're really drawing with your body today. It's really, really cool. Cather is asking, do you know someone who is famously known for making wet charcoal artwork? Not particularly. It's something that I've seen a lot of people teaching at RISD, but I can't think of anybody that does it as a professional thing exclusively. If anybody knows of anybody, let me know. Elisa says, could you do a dry charcoal drawing and then do this on top? Oh yeah, you totally could. I mean, if you guys wanted to, you could take this drawing that I have here, let it dry, and then draw on top of that. There's many options. So for sure, there's no end of how you can use this technique. Jaco says, I've never heard of wet charcoal. Genuine question, what does the wetness do to the charcoal? It just loosens the pigment. So basically, if you think about the charcoal, it's a stick of charcoal powder that's been compressed. And then what the water does is it just like breaks down the pigment. So the pigment just like spreads all over the paper. That's pretty much what's happening. JDK says, this is so fun. I have to wash my hands to leave a comment. I know, you guys, look at my hands. I mean, actually, this is not that bad, but you're going to be really, really gross today. I mean, yes. And I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Jyothika says, the process seems really relaxing and calming to take the mind off of a long day. It's just very physical. You forget about precision. You forget about trying to control it. Those are all issues that I think a lot of people have when they sit down to draw, that tendency to want to control and tighten and render. And this will just beat that out of you. And I'll tell you, I needed this. When I took Victor Lara's class at RISD, I was so much in need of this because I was really, really tight. And it's important, I think, you do tools that prevent you from falling into those habits. Let me grab another sheet of paper. Does anybody else here feel like they're picking up their wet laundry? That's how I feel when I pick up one of these wet sheets of newsprint. I mean, the nice thing about wet charcoal is that you'll get it on your clothes, but honestly, it's pretty easy to get rid of. And your floor might turn swamp-like, but it's not that bad. I mean, this is a lot easier to do than oil paints. And we have a question from Northern Lights who says, after it dries, will it still smudge? Yes, this is like regular charcoal. So it has the same fragility that you might expect. Ooh, this is kind of fun. See, normally I like to break my charcoal into these little pieces, but this is sort of fun. This looks like a big train track or something. Isn't that cool? Are you guys surprised by the marks you're making? Isn't it fun? It's just so cool. Plus, oh, that black. There's nothing like that black. And it just feels so good. See, even now, I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit. So I'm going to try some variations. Like I might dip that in there, and now I'm going to roll it through the wet stuff. So you see, that's a very different stroke. Or does everybody see the physical movements you can do and how different that is? And then I might take this hand and just smear like crazy. This is one of those places, it's like, you can just smudge it to death. It's fine. We need this playtime. So one of the things is sometimes people start to feel like this is so removed from drawing, but we'll make that connection. We will. Just for now, we have to do this. We have to get into that physical rhythm of what's happening. I mean, I'm already like, oh, loving how this feels. Like I can do very rigid, almost geometric lines that go through. And just because I'm not using a reference photo, it doesn't mean you can't. If you have something you want to draw, if you want to draw fluffy with wet charcoal, you totally can. I have to say, you guys have to look at the Flickr page, the free reference photo collection we have. because I went to Antelope Island yesterday, which is this beautiful space. It's so serene, and they have bison there. And I cannot believe that they trust people to be near the bison. Like, I was sort of astounded because they're dangerous. Like, if you, they can like maul you. They're huge and scary and big, but you can just get out of your car and take pictures of bison. I mean, there's signs everywhere that are like, don't approach the bison. But I'm sort of shocked that they think we're smart enough to not get killed by the bison at Antelope Island. But anyway, we were driving at Antelope Island yesterday, and there were these bison that were like crossing the road. I was like, oh my gosh. And so I got out my telephoto lens and I got these amazing close-ups of these bison, because we had some other ones of them in the field. But the problem with the images in the field is you couldn't see their feet, because their feet were totally obscured by all the grass and everything. And I was freaking out about these bison photos. You guys have to go check it out. Ulrika says, can I ask, what are you making? I'm just making marks. I'm just engaging with material. I'm seeing how many different textures and surfaces and effects I can get. I'm not thinking about drawing anything right now. I'm just thinking about marks. And I know we get a lot of questions from people about like, well, how do you do abstraction? There's no correct way to do it. But for me, a lot of it is about rhythm. Like I was telling you guys before about how, okay, well, if you make marks like this, that's a very staccato rhythm. Or if I do something more fluid and I just push it across, almost like caressing the paper, this is something different. I mean, here I'm almost like canceling out half the marks that I'm putting down. And then if I want to layer strokes over that like this, and just think about the speed of the mark, like these are very fast, very short strokes. This is very broad and very sensual. These are a little bit more ghost-like. And so you really have to look at the marks just on their own without saying, oh, does it look like Jub Jub or Wheat, my guinea pigs, if you missed that stream from yesterday. Jade Leaf says, can't wait to try this later. I'm going to scrape the charcoal powder off my charcoal with a knife onto the wet paper to see what happens. Oh, yes. If you guys have charcoal powder, I mean, you can do that. You can take a knife and just scrape it like this. Or if you have a jar of charcoal powder, that works too. So for sure, you guys can totally do that. Justin is asking, does wet applied charcoal erase to white once it's dry the way dry charcoal does? I don't think so. It's been a while since I've done that, but it is stuck to the paper. I mean, I think in general, once you put charcoal to any paper, you really can't expect it to go white to the white of the page. It's almost always just like a little bit more. So I just tend to put away all expectations about getting that white of the page back. It's pretty much gone at that stage. Jyothika says, the technique seems perfect to create an ominous scene. Oh yes, this would be so fun for doing landscapes, for creating atmospheric perspective. I mean, oh, it would be phenomenal for doing that. Elisa says, is there any type of paper you'd recommend? I recommend newsprint just to get started, for you to get a sense of the technique. And then once you decide, oh, I really like this, I do want to do one that's more finished, then you'll have enough practice to know exactly what you're after. All right, let's get another sheet. And like I said, it does really help to work big for this technique. I find working small and abstractly very hard to do. Of course, it depends on the person. Some people are really good at drawing small and detailed, but I'm not one of them. And the other thing too is that most charcoal is pretty blunt, and so it's not very easy for doing stuff like that. Okay, let me show you the exercise that I recommend people going through to work up to maybe making something a little bit more directed. This is a prompt that is in our 10-minute prompts stream, which is basically a 10-minute prompt just to warm you up, to get you going. And that would be just making lines, vertical lines, in as many ways as you possibly can. You guys ready? Okay, let's do it. So the most obvious line is that one, okay? Super boring. Nothing interesting about that. Let's change this. There's another line, okay? That's still pretty boring. Now let's change it up. You could say, okay, here's my next line. And in this one, I tried to change the pressure. So I pressed really hard here, I pressed lighter. And then maybe on this one, I'll start very light and get wide and get very, very thin towards the end. There's another line. Now this line is going to be a little more squiggly. Oop, there we go. We ripped the paper. Who here has ripped their paper? Tell me in the chat, who has ripped their paper? If you have ripped your paper, how many times? I've done it twice, which is surprisingly not that many times. Or we could have one that, say, starts like that. Or maybe this is one that barely is there, like that. And maybe this one is very geometric. And maybe we can do one, for example, sometimes what I'll do is I'll just have like a plastic cap and I'll put water on it and you just rub the charcoal in here like that. And you can say, okay, well, here's another one I'm going to make. Like that. Or you could put in the side of your hand and say, okay, here's another mark. Whoops. So that's one page of vertical lines. Every single line is a different language. And what I want all of you to do with me for the next little bit, we're just gonna make vertical lines. We're gonna make them as different as possible to get the broadest range of marks that we can possibly make. Boy, it's a good thing I got all those towels. Otherwise, my rug would be completely destroyed right now. All right. And again, you can play with half dry, half wet. I like soaking the paper because I just find when the paper is wet, it's faster, and I'm more likely to do something weird. If I keep it dry, sometimes I end up going into a different mode. All right, so let's do more of those vertical lines. So maybe this one I'm gonna do like this. All right, so there's a vertical line. That's a vertical line. Let's make one that's really dark and luscious. Maybe one like this. Ooh, sweet. Oh my God, that feels so good, guys. Yeah! Love that. Because I do think sometimes when you're so caught up in the image of what you're drawing, making it right, like I'm drawing a face, I need to look like a face, you forget about the beauty of the marks on the page. You forget about, wow, look at that rhythm that pushes that this way. Look at, here, let me get some of this in here. Like, think about this. If I just take my, like, that is a beautiful mushy mark. Oh, that was so much fun. You know what I did? I just took my charcoal and I just like wet it like this. And it's like, you kind of rub it around your fingers. I know. I feel like a caveman like this. And I can just like, it's like your marks have sound effects now when you use wet charcoal. that. And I'll do another one, maybe just with these fingers. That's a mark. That's a language. Oh man, this is so gross. Good thing my mouse is not white. Terry says, could you mix the charcoal with water and use it as paint? Oh, absolutely. Go ahead. I mean, if you have charcoal powder, I really have seen people make almost like a paste out of the charcoal powder. Sally is asking, have you shown us some dried that I missed already? I think a lot of my drawings are still really wet. What I'll do is maybe after the stream is over and we go into the Discord, I'll get a blow dryer and I'll dry out my drawings and I'll put them in the Discord. That way you guys can see them a lot better. Yeah, Christopher says the charcoal looks like ink when it's wet. So that's what's kind of amazing about it, is that if you go back into the drawing like this, these marks I'm making, like these really look like dry strokes. They're not really that different. But then it's like when you get something like this, it's so luscious. And then I love just rubbing in here like that. Because you know what I think? Because people are so used to pencils, they're used to holding the pencil like this. Does everybody see how tight this grip is? Like when I'm just holding a stick and I'm just moving it around like this, this is such a different experience. It's not the same thing as what people think about as being stereotypical drawing technique. And then when you can get in and just, ooh, oh, that feels so good. It's great. Awesome. If this were dry charcoal, I mean, there's no way you could get this kind of smudging at this speed and spontaneity. It just wouldn't happen. Like this wetness would not occur otherwise. Oh, Lisa says credit card marks were fun. Oh, you got me thinking, Lisa. So let's do this, guys. I'm going to get another sheet of paper and I'm going to get some of my sculpture tools. You don't have to have sculpture tools. You can totally use anything. A comb, a butter knife, whatever you want, because then you can really scrape into the surface. So thank you, Lisa, for bringing that up. You do have to be careful, though, because obviously the newsprint is pretty fragile. And obviously, you're going to tear it. I mean, that's going to happen. That's fine. But yeah, let's try some of that. By the way, I have to tell all of you, I'm so happy that all of you are so willing to do so many different things with me, because there's so many YouTube channels where it's one artist doing one technique, doing it very well, and that's great. But I love the variety. The variety for me is really, really fun. And I think it's wonderful we have an audience that embraces that variety, because some people don't want that. Some people just want to do one thing one way all the time. I get very bored. And so I think it's wonderful that so many of you have embraced that variety and range. Like I've had people say, oh, well, I saw the topic of the stream and I didn't think I was going to be interested. But after I watched the stream, I was really interested. I was like, wow, that's great that all of you are so willing and open to try that. Okay, let me go grab my sculpture tools. They're right here. And again, anything goes. Oh, this will be fun. I don't even know what this thing is. I think somebody gave this to me. Oh, fun. Look at that. That is really cool. Just going in and... Really what you're doing, this might feel like, oh, I'm just making a mess, but you know something? You're collecting vocabulary right now. You're saying, wow, I can do a mark like that. I can do a mark like this. And by doing that, you're coming up with ideas. Oh, you can even do it with a palette knife. Let's try this. So what I did here, I just had a little plastic thing, and I'm just going to rub some charcoal in there, and then I can take like my palette knife. Ooh, that's cool. So what I'll do, actually, let me put down a little more pigment because I don't think I had enough pigment. I'll just put down a big thing and then watch this. Oh, fun. Oh, that is really fun. Oh, I really like that palette knife technique. And then this is also cool. If you have something that's like serrated, let me see if I can show you. Oops, it's not quite wet enough. I'm just gonna make a big black spot. Look at this. This is probably too small for you to see, but I'll put it into the Discord. But if you have a plastic fork or anything that's serrated. Yeah, these are all sculpture tools that I use in some of the other streams. You can just take it and just draw with it like that. That's a mark. I mean, just picture. We would do this, I'm not kidding. Like, they make us do this for like 4 hours. Like, we would just make marks. But you know what? It expanded my vocabulary tremendously. And it's fun. It's relaxing. Who else is having fun? Tell me in the chat. Who's having fun right now? I am. And I did have a professor who used to say, if you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. I just love the finger stuff. Like being able to do this like super juicy stroke. Oh, that is awesome. Freshy says, I've been fooling around with charcoal. It's been a challenge as physically active as the medium calls for, but I love it. Very inspired by the ways you don't hold back and get your hands dirty. I mean, to me, the dirtier, the better. It's like, there's a certain degree of danger and mess. And it's like the higher you go on the mess and danger scale, like the more fun it gets. Christopher says, it's fun to try different things and try different materials. It's cool. There are so many art forms to try out. Virtual hug. Thank you so much. Sybil says, for me, art prof is experimental. That's why I love it. Oh, wonderful. I mean, I'm into finishing things. Trust me. I'm all for that. But the thing is, you can't just do that. You can't only make finished work. You have to have playtime. And so one thing that I tell people is that you have to have periods of play and periods of focused work. For example, I will have periods where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tell myself, Clara, for the next month, you're not going to finish anything. You're just going to play. You're just going to sketch. You're not going to finish anything. And then sometimes if I have a project where I really need to finish something, I'm like, okay, you are in finish mode. You have to be very product oriented right now. But you have to go back and forth between the two. I don't think it's a good idea to only do finished work because you can end up really stifling yourself and putting a lot of pressure on product. And product is not the most important thing. It's part of the process, but it's not the only part of the process. That's what people forget. They don't realize that this playtime is a part of that. Marie Louise says, I love this letting go of doing, quote, the right thing. You cannot be wrong. Nope, you can't. There is only just that. Like whatever you can just puke onto the page. Isati says, sadly, I can't partake in the funding. I'm back writing a scientific grant proposal. Someday work. But see, I love that. How amazing is it that we have such a broad audience that somebody is watching a wet charcoal drawing tutorial while writing a scientific grant proposal. I think that's amazing. By the way, I'm curious how many people here are in STEM, S-T-E-M, science, technology, engineering, and math, because there's a lot of STEM people in the Discord, people who are scientists full-time and they do art on the side, or some people who were STEM but switched. There's a lot of STEM people in the Art Prof Discord. It's really cool. John the Painter says, I actually have a tube of nitrum liquid charcoal. Whoa, I've never heard of that before. The first time I heard of nitrum charcoal was with Kathy Speranza when we did her rose drawing tutorial. I'd never seen nitrum charcoal before. Now I've never heard of liquid charcoal. That is really cool. Yeah, Maggie says, I love how it transitions from wet to dry texture when you slide it across the paper. Does everybody see the importance of physical pressure here? Because if you just do the same physical pressure, it gets really boring really fast. And so you have to really vary up the type of strokes you put down. All right, now another variation on the line exercise. We just did a bunch, and ordinarily, if you were in my RISD freshman drawing class and I was trying to break you down, you would have done that for 2 hours. But let's say you've done that for 2 hours. The variation on it, you do lines, but you're gonna change up the direction of the lines. You're gonna do them now horizontally, so you'll do them like this. So now we're gonna do horizontal lines. And this is a different rhythm. Because going horizontally is not the same thing. See, I love how, does everybody see how the charcoal, it can be so wet, but then it can look very sharp and graphic. I mean, that looks about as dry as you might want it to be. But then if you like really soak, like let's really soak the paper here, make it super wet. Now that we've been doing it for a little bit, play with the wetness of the paper. Like here, I'm gonna make it purposefully very wet. Whoa, that is really intense. You see that? That's such a different stroke than what you see up there. And then maybe up here, I'm just gonna do this next one with my fingers. Like this is very suggestive. Oh, that's really fun. You can see my fingernails in the paper. So cool. Actually, let's get some more of this. Whoa, look at that. Oh my gosh. Is that because it's so wet? Why is that so crisp? Oh my God. Oh, whoa. Okay, I just do that again. Let's do that at the bottom. I didn't know it was going to be so sharp. Have all of you made marks that surprised you? Are you making marks that you're just shocked by? You're like, wow, I had no idea that was possible. Let's try that again. Ooh. Oh, I love that. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, so fun. Cool. I didn't know. I feel like I'm sort of pulling these octopus tentacles. By the way, did anybody see that viral octopus clip? It's an octopus almost lunging at this person. And in the clip, you hear the guy say, golly. It's a really funny video. I saw it on the New York Times yesterday. Yeah, this is like those octopus tentacles. Look at that. Oh, how fun. Oh, I love that. That is so cool. Delus says, this looks like kindergarten for adults. Love it. We need more of this in our lives. We don't have to be so perfect all the time. I know some people really like those coloring books for de-stressing and stuff. Like there's now this whole genre of coloring books for adults. I feel like I would be stressed out doing one of those. There's something about having to stay in the lines. It just doesn't jive with my rebellious quality. Amy says, can you please share the type of charcoal that you're using? I am using Faber-Castell compressed charcoal. And if you guys go down to the video description below, all of the art supply links are listed down there. I also have a bunch of soft pastels that I'm using. You guys can use all of those as a substitute. Any black soft pastel will do. But in general, you will find that that is the case for pretty much every stream. Any material that we use in the stream, we will list the link in the video description so all of you can find that very easily. Starving Artist says, I think science and art share many of the same principles, observation, experimentation, reflection, theory, and then rounding it. Oh, they are so similar. And it bothers me that people think about them as such polar opposites, because at the advanced level, you have to be very experimental as a scientist to innovate anything. And as an artist, you need a lot of discipline to be an artist. And people think you don't. People think you just are like, oh, I think I'll just putz around and be struck by inspiration. I'm like, no, we get there by grinding at it all the time and thinking and pushing. And science and art are very similar. It's annoying that there are all these stereotypes, which really are not very accurate. I Suarez says, would it work as well if we simply dipped the charcoal in water before drawing? Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's do it. So, all right. All I have is my art prof mug. So I guess we're going to use the art prof mug. Let's just take this. I guess I'm not going to drink out of that for now. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, it's so slippery. Oh, it's like drawing with a slug. That's awesome. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I mean, the way this technique goes, everybody, you can't do this wrong. You cannot do something that you will not gain some experience out of. Like, is everybody feeling the tactility of this material? Don't you feel more physically engaged? How many people here feel like they're drawing with more than just their fingers? I mean, I am drawing with my shoulders. I'm feeling it down to my elbows. This is such a physical experience. Bartholomew says, do you think you can make a hyper-realistic drawing with wet charcoal? Sure, why not? I mean, it would take a long time. I mean, any hyper-realistic artwork takes forever. They're extremely laborious, but yeah, you absolutely could. And UL says, get a sponge or crushed paper to get new textures. Oh, phenomenal. Okay, let's do it. Ready? I love this. Does everybody see how wonderful it is to make work with other people? If I were here by myself, I would not be getting all of these wonderful suggestions that people in the chat are providing. And I hope for all of you that it's helpful to be in this classroom together. I love it. The motivation and the momentum that I am seeing in the Discord, it's amazing. If you guys are not in the Art Prof Discord, you should join. I know some people are intimidated by Discord because maybe it's a platform you're not familiar with. But don't worry, we have so many wonderful moderators in our Discord who are so happy and so kind and willing to help all of you. So get in there and just ask for help. We're so happy to help you guys with that. Okay, you ready? Let's do it. I'm so excited. I'm so happy you brought that up. Okay, ready? All right, let's crunch it up. Like that. Actually, I'm going to crunch it up more in the middle. All right, let's spread it out. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wet it. I'm going to crunch it, and then I'm going to... Actually, that's not really wet enough. I need it more wet. Let's try this. I mean, this feels very sculptural to me. Okay, let's pull that apart. Oh, fun. Does everybody see that? I mean, this is very similar to the art dare that we did in March, which was to put down an ink blot and then react to that, right? And so here's an opportunity for us to do that. Because now, look at these textures. Isn't that gorgeous? Oh, I'm so glad somebody mentioned doing that. Because now, so many cool strokes coming in. So you can do that line exercise however much you want. But at a certain point, you can stop doing the lines and just start making marks. Or you can do diagonal ones, or you can do it in spiral. It's however you want to make that happen. So I'm going to experiment now, making some like really wet spots. I mean, that really is more like ink wash. And then maybe some scraping. And then pushing this down. Oh, that's so cool. I love this black. Black is so good. I just love black. I mean, I swear one of the reasons I'm not that good at color is I just like black. I love value. To me, I don't need color because the black is enough. The black is what sustains me in a lot of ways. I'm sure Lauren would be horrified hearing that. I mean, she is the color queen here at Artcroft. Yeah, this is totally tearing. That's fine. Who cares? Isn't it nice to not care? So much of the time, we're also stressed. And it doesn't have to be that way. Oh, I could use the paper towel, actually. Let's do that, because somebody mentioned a sponge. So actually, I could take this and... Oh, that's really cool. Make something like softer and more atmospheric. We should do that. I feel like we should do a landscape stream with wet charcoal so I can show all of you how to apply these marks into the context of something that is image-based. Tell me in the chat who would like a stream like that. I could see if I can squeeze it in for April, because I think somebody did suggest in the Discord yesterday they wanted to do a stream on mountains. And actually, I got some beautiful photos at Antelope Island. So maybe that's something we could try. Maggie says, the wrinkles do half the job. So much fun. Yeah, RB Dick, this is so true. It's about the love of doing art and being happy. Tell yourselves every time you sit down to make work that you are adding to your tool belt as an artist. There is no such thing as a wasted drawing session. It could be the crummiest drawing you've ever done in your whole life, and that is adding to your experience as an artist. People really, I think, give themselves a hard time. They say, oh my gosh, that was such a bad drawing. It's like, think about this. I watched these skateboarding videos with my daughter, Tony Hawk. Who here knows who Tony Hawk is? He's, oh my God, I cannot believe the stuff he does. But there's all these skateboarding videos of him doing these crazy tricks. And you know what's funny? And I love that they do this in the videos. 90% of the video is him doing the trick badly, him falling on his butt. And then they'll show him doing it right, like twice, you know? And think about it that way. It's like every time you guys, quote, wipe out as an art, that's it. You just have to do that. I mean, like Tony Hawk doesn't nail every single trick. Half the time he's falling on his butt. I mean, that's so much of that. Foxtrot says, a teacher of mine once did a lot of abstract mark making by dipping a ball of butcher twine in ink and rolling it around a lot. Perhaps that's another technique you could try. Oh, sure. I mean, you guys, anything is game. However you want to go about doing this, if you have string, if you have sponge, I mean, you just watch me crumple up the paper like somebody suggested. I mean, any way you can make a mark, that's pretty much it. Dachiana says, I'm an abstract painter in a post-socialist country. What do? I hate my art teacher. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I think we've all had some teacher at some point that we didn't like. That's just the way it is. And I think it's hard because I'm not good at giving advice when it comes to bad teachers, because I was the one that would just yell back. Like, I was not, don't do what I did, guys. It's not worth your time to do that. What I would just say is maybe a good way to approach it is to separate your schoolwork from your personal work. Like, make time so that you can make the work you want to make and not feel that you have to show it to that teacher for class. Sometimes just separating your school artwork from your personal work is a lot better. And another thing you can do is you can just share what you make in the Discord, and we will not judge you for that. We will totally support you as much as we possibly can. Alexander says, do you prefer drawing with pencil or charcoal? It depends. I don't really have favorites when it comes to art media. I think a lot of the times it's more, well, this is the effect I'm looking for, and I think pencil will be the best fit. It's more about that. I am a jack of all trades. I tend to just think about what is it I want to do, what's the subject, and is that the best fit? Other people are different. Other people are like, no, I always like charcoal better. Well, we know how Jordan feels about charcoal. So, like, I don't think Jordan is ever going to be doing that. Bleepkin says, ah, yes, I've been having so much more fun when I do these draw-alongs. Phenomenal. Sally is asking, what is the Discord? Discord is basically a group chat. And I really like it because it doesn't have the competitive nature that Facebook has. And I mean, this is so terrible, but I can see how my behavior is different in a Facebook group versus a Discord server. So like a Discord server, it's very similar to a Facebook group. So you have like a Facebook account, you join a group, you have a Discord account, you join a server. And so it's just a chat function. But what I like about Discord is that there's less snooping. Like on Facebook, when people join, you can like click on their profile, look at their pictures and blah, blah, blah. I know there's privacy settings, but on Discord, it's just like the name and their role and that's it. And so there's just less snooping. But Sally, what I recommend you do is we just published a video, I think about a week ago, about Discord, how our Discord server works. And I recommend you guys watch that because we explain a lot of things about our Discord server that are not that obvious unless you watch that video or unless you hang out there a lot. So definitely come hang out with us. I mean, the thing about Facebook that bothers me, I do this and I hate that I do this, is that, you know how on Facebook, if you're in a group and you post something, and then when people comment on your post, it bumps up the post to the top. Like I will comment on my post just to bump it up, not because I actually want to comment. And I think that's terrible. Discord, there's none of that competitive nature. And I think it's just a lot less about people showing off and trying to get to the top. Kate Rose says, it's really difficult to always separate my personal and professional work, as my style just bleeds into all my work and my art teacher sometimes calls on me to include it more. I know it's hard, there's a lot of pressure, Kate. I think that you are who you are as an artist. You can't help but let some of that go in, but I think it's about just creating spaces for the types of work that you want to make. Because I'll tell you, when I'm doing stuff like this, these live streams, I'm in a different place than if I'm making something knowing that no one's going to see it. It's a very different scenario. I mean, sometimes knowing people are going to see it lights a fire under my butt to like make something. That's better, but other times it stresses me out. So it depends. I guess it fluctuates a lot. Yeah, Yuval Adama says, yes, learn from every experience, fails and wins. We have a video called Failure, Fear, and Risks for Artists. It actually has not gotten a lot of views, but Jordan and Kat do that video, and they talk about how that fear, the failure, it's not fun. None of us enjoy it when we're in it. But when you step back and you realize, wow, I really gained something from that failure. And in that stream, we talk about things that were very disappointing to us that were hard. I mean, I talked about my rejections in graduate school. Kat talked about a rejection she had from a European art school that she desperately wanted to go to. And it's like, that doesn't define who you are. In fact, sometimes it gets you to push further along. Cool. All right. Carrie Ann says, yes, I would love mountain knowledge. I can definitely help you guys out there. There are so many mountains where I am right now in Utah. And I think it is finally getting nice out that we can go out more and shoot a million photos. Romare says, I see a mountainous scene from above, a bird flying on the lower left. Oh, you can see so many things in this. I mean, this is just so much fun. This is a nice comment from W315 who says, Ulrike and Daciana are your teachers stuck on realism. You can learn the science and technical aspects from them anyway, then go your own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I would just say when you guys are learning from anybody, okay, it doesn't matter who you are, what age, what you're learning, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, okay? And I think the most important thing when you're learning things is that you don't write off anything until you've tried it. So if you try it and you're like, oh, I hate this stinks, that's fine. You don't have to do it again after that. But give everything a shot, because there have been so many times where I don't need to learn that. And then I did, and I was like, oh, yes, I do. It's like a lot of times you don't realize what might help you. And I think so often it's easy for us to make assumptions of, oh, well, that's not necessary. Oh, I want to do this. This is not related. And you just don't know. And sometimes it really is not helpful. And you will not like everything that everybody teaches you, but it is part of the process to see all that. Mirta says, can you use graphite powder? Probably. I've never done it before. You can try it. I'd love to hear if it actually works. Sally says, I live on a mountain in Spain. It's so wonderful. Oh, I love Spain. Oh, you guys, I cannot wait until the travel situation is better, because that is just one of my favorite parts of being part of the human race. It's just traveling is so incredible. Ananin says, I was trying to do mountains and watercolors yesterday. I felt really down because I couldn't figure it out. You know what I would do is look at Norman Akrod. Norman Akrod is a British contemporary printmaker. A-C-K-R-O-Y-D. Sorry, I'm too far away from my laptop to type in the name right now. But he would be a really good reference in terms of how to show that atmospheric perspective. All right, you guys, please join me in the Art Prof Discord. I will be hanging out in the Art Alongs channel. The Discord invite link is in the YouTube video description below. Subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And I want to give a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters for everything you contribute to make sure that we have the resources we need to keep Art Prof up and running and free and accessible to everybody. You guys, thank you so much for drawing along with me. I'll see you next time. Bye.